So I'm going to invite Amy up now to bring God's word to us. Just pray for you. Lord, I pray for Amy and thank you for her. And I pray for her now as she speaks to us, that you will, and that we will be open to hear what you might want to say to us this morning. Amen.
Great. So this morning, my message is all about hope. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why I chose that. Hang on. My PowerPoint's just cut out a little bit. Just going to get my notes up. Sweet. So a good place to start when you're thinking of doing something on a particular word is the dictionary, to find out what the dictionary's definition is of that word. So I looked at the dictionary for the word hope, and it says a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And I think my parents were really, really good kind of instilling me this kind of building up hope in me as a child. Because after school, my parents both worked, and I used to go to my school's kids' club. The kids' club finished at 6, the same time my dad finished work. And he only worked about 5 minutes away, but sometimes he was a bit late getting out of work. And it would be that moment every time, like little me, just there at kids' club, thinking, will dad make it today before they shut the lights and they lock us up and they lock us into school? And I was always like, come on dad, like looking at the door waiting for him to come. The staff would all be there with their coats on, their keys in their hand, like, we want to leave, we're not being paid after 6, we are ready to go. And I would always be like, come on dad, you can do it. And then just at the last minute, now I realise that they wouldn't have just left me in school, but at the time I definitely thought that I was going to be left in school, and it was just that moment of relief. My hope was in the right thing. My dad has come to me. So that's just a little story of hope. But the reason that I'm talking about this morning is because this is a thing that I've seen in high schools and in the young people today, and in my own life, is how easily we can live in hopelessness. I was at some training on mental health recently, and one of the things that stood out to me, and this has kind of started me questioning with God, what does it mean to have hope? How can I have hope in my life? Because the lady, when she was talking about people taking their own lives, she said something that really stood out. People who feel suicidal do not actually want to die. They don't want to live the life that they currently have. So basically, to reword that, people who feel suicidal don't actually want to die. They have lost hope. They can't see a future for themselves. They can't see a way forward. They can't imagine themselves not in this situation. And I experienced this on some sort of level just last year when, back last January, I was really beginning to struggle. And I couldn't work out what it was, and eventually my mum, she was great, and she made me go to the doctors. And when I went to the doctors, it turned out that there was a couple things wrong with my energy levels. The first thing I got diagnosed with was anemia, and I thought, oh great, that's great, so I just start taking iron tablets and I'll feel better. I started taking some iron tablets and it didn't make me feel better. And eventually I got diagnosed with an underactive thyroid, which as a 24-year-old girl in the prime of my health and life, it was a really, really big struggle for me to have that diagnosis, because the doctor kind of basically said that this is not an overnight fix, that we're going to put you on the medication, and initially this medication probably won't work. We're going to have to re-look at your medication until we get the right diagnosis. So basically, I was really struggling with my physical health. It had a toll on my mental health, and I'd just been told that this is not going to go away soon. And I really began to struggle then with hopelessness of, will it ever go away? I can't imagine my life not with this illness. I can't imagine my life with perfect mental health, and I really began to question just loads of things in my life, and where is my hope? And I don't know if any of you speak Welsh, but do you know what Gobaith Morn translates to? Hope. Hope for Anglesey. And it was quite ironic because the whole time that I was there struggling with hopelessness and struggling to find hope in my own life, I was also part of a team that was bringing hope to young people on the island. That's what's in our title, that's what it says on the tin. So I just wanna tell you just a little bit about, you know, a bit more of my own story and how I kind of my life. And yeah, just one thing that I'm not sure what you guys are going through this morning, what situations that you might be dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with like a lack of hope in your own life. And what I found going through that season of difficulty and of pain was that there was no ABC, there was no formula of how to get myself out of it. There was not, if I read my Bible for 20 minutes, then it would be okay, but if I didn't do that, then it wouldn't be. It was just a real, just needing to go deeper with God in every kind of level of my life. So I just want to, yeah, just want to encourage us to have an increase in hope in our life. And where this hope begins is Jesus. That's kind of the formula. That's the ABC of how to increase your hope in your life. Increase just your understanding of Jesus and what he's done for you. We've got this amazing verse in 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Praise be to the Father God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And I just want to remind us this morning of that beautiful story of why we all have hope as Christians, the hope that we're sharing in these high schools is that God loves us. God had seen the world and he'd seen everything in it, and he thought the world needed one of us as well, one of you as well. He loves you. He is passionate about relationship with you. He is for you. He is on your side. He just wants to live life with you. But then, going back to the dog analogy, when in our freedom, we kind of have made ourselves a bit messy. We've made ourselves a bit dirty. We haven't done things God's way. We've gone on our own track, gone on our own way. And most of the time when we're going our way, that's when hopelessness can come into our lives. But then God, I've heard it before. It says, God in his perfection, in his holiness, couldn't look on us, but in his great love for us, couldn't look away. And I just love that. I love that idea that God, who was so desperate for relationship with us, that he made that ultimate sacrifice, that ultimate, I'm going to take the wrath of God on me. I'm going to take that pain on me. I'm going to take your sin on me. And I'm going to die on the cross with it so that you can live a life of hope. You can have a new life. And it's incredible. When we really think about that, we have no reason to lose hope because our hope is not in something that might happen or could happen. Our hope is in something that has already happened. God has already done it. He's already made a way for us to be in relationship with him. Christ has already died. He's already resurrected. He's already beaten death. The Bible, it just talks about all the things that God has already done. And that's enough. God doesn't need to do anything else. But God, he loves us. And he will do things in our life as well. So our hope is always in the resurrection. Our hope is always in what the Bible says. Our hope is in what the Bible says about us and who we are. In a bit, we're going to sing a song called "In Christ Alone, Our Hope is Found." And what I found in my life is that when I put my hope in different things, I put my hope in myself, I put my hope in relationships with people, I put my hope in how much money I have, and all of that, it doesn't work. Our hope can only be found in Christ alone. He is the only solid rock that we can build our life on. And if our foundation is hope, the fruit of our life is going to be amazing. And he doesn't want us just to have hope. He doesn't want us just to have it as a kind of a wishy-washy, nice thought. He actually wants us to be overflowed with hope. It says that in the Bible, we'll get to a bit later. But he came to reconcile us, to give us new life and to give us new hope. Now I'm going to look a little bit now at this verse about hope. And this perhaps is, I don't know, I guess a little less encouraging than the first one when it comes to having hope, because it talks about suffering. So not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And this really, really made sense to me after going through what I went through last year with getting ill and struggling and finding things really hard. Another thing that I was going through last year at the same time was I was going through relationship issues. I was having trouble just with life in general. Every aspect of my life felt like it was falling apart. And I'd gone through my 24 years pretty well. I didn't have any massive shake-ups. And this was the first time that my life really got shaken and my life really started to feel like it was just not going well at all. But at the same time, I felt more convinced than ever before that I was in the will of God for my life. When I first started working for God by Thorn, I felt more than ever that this was the will of God for my life. And I don't know, maybe I had a naive view, and I can't actually find a reason to back up this biblically, but I had the view that if you're completely in the will of God for your life, that every single thing will work out perfectly for you. That if you wake up one day and it's raining, and if you're in the will of God for your life, you say, God, can it be sunny today? And God's like, Amy, because you're in the will of God for your life, I'm going to make it sunny for you. I'm just going to do everything, whatever you want, whatever your needs are, every single thing will be catered for you because you're in the will of God for your life. And the will of God for your life is the best place to be. But it doesn't always mean that everything will work out for you. And going back to my dog, little Tom, I learned a lot about God from owning a dog. It's like when people have children. I don't have any children, so I have a dog. But I was really starting to process and ask God, kind of, why did this happen to me? Why am I struggling so much? If this is really where I'm meant to be, why is it so hard? And I was taking my dog to the vets one day, and I got his lead up because his vets are in Menai Ridge and I live in Llanfair Pwll. So I was going to walk him, it was a beautiful day, and I was going to walk him to the vets. I got his lead up and he's like, wow, we're going for a walk, I love walks. And he was jumping around, getting really excited. He sees me getting the poo bags out, yeah, we're going for a walk. And I was thinking, what must have been going on through my dog's head during that time of being taken out for a walk. And it was probably something like, yay, I love going outside for a walk, and if Amy's gonna take me somewhere, because I trust my owner, Amy, that she's gonna take me to get ice cream, or she's gonna take me to the beach, or somewhere that I love. And so I'm taking him on this walk, and we get to the vets, and he doesn't really clock where he is, and he is like, yay, I love wherever this place is. I'm really excited to be here. And while he was going to the vet, he was going through a phase of he was like licking his paws all the time to the point that they were red. That was the issue that we were taking him to the vet for. We're going into the room, and he realizes, he's like, oh, I know where we are. I know what's happening. And he's like crawling up into a ball, like, no, don't take me in. And I carry him onto the table, and the vet's there. and what I'm actually taking him to the vets for. And excuse me for saying this, but he needed his anal glands emptying. That's basically why he was there, because for some reason, when dogs' anal glands get too full, they lick their paws and they get some irritating habits from it. And I was thinking, I was just like, that whole process of him being so excited, thinking, if Amy's going to take me somewhere, it's going to be amazing, it's going to be so great. But actually what I was taking him there for was so that he would live a life free from that pain, the habit that he had got. And so it was for his own good, and it was for his own benefit, but actually the process of how he needed to get to that other side and live that kind of full life was actually a little bit painful. And I felt like when I was walking back from that walk, that I was talking to God, and I felt like God was saying that, yeah, Amy, you're going to have 8 months of having your anal glands emptied, having that stuff, having that, like, the bad stuff that is inside of you needs to go, because it can't hope and love and the peace that God wants to have can't fit there whilst you've still got all of this bad stuff, whilst you've still got unforgiveness, while you've still got pain, while you're still idolizing different things, while you're still not quite the person that you should be. I want to remove those things from your life so that you can be full with stuff, so that you can live the best life possible. So I felt like God was really just saying that for your own good, you need to have some stuff emptied from you. But the other side of it, that's a picture of my dog, not the verse, yeah. That this, all the while, the suffering, the pain that you're facing at the moment is producing endurance. Your endurance is producing character. And your character is going to produce hope. You're going to have an increase in hope after this is done. And I really have felt that that's been something in my own life that has happened since experiencing that tough time. And actually, when it got to a point where things had been going wrong and I'd been like, oh, I've hit rock bottom, at least I've hit rock bottom, and then something else would go wrong and I'd be like, well, at least I've hit rock bottom now, and something else would go wrong. And I got to a point where it was the final thing. I was in a relationship and that person had broken up with me. And I remember just being like, oh, that was the last thing of all of the things that were happening to me, that was the last thing that was keeping me going. And now I feel like that the last thing has been taken away from me. It was like the last thing that had to be removed for me to start living this full life. And it was the same day that the guy had broken up with me that I decided, I was at work and we were making an assembly. And I said, I know what I need to do this assembly on. I need to do it on hope. And our main point of the assembly was that a lot of the time when you're going through situations that feel hopeless, a natural thing is to ask why. Why did this happen to me? Why is this happening? Why can't I be like this? Why can't I do that? But actually, the assembly was all about asking what next. Okay, so that has happened. What next? What does God have in store for me? And that's what hope is all about. What next? Actually, I believe that season of my life is not the end of the story. That's not telling the story that is for my life. People are not going to remember me by that one season where it was really difficult and really painful. But actually, what next? God has got more for me. And for me, the what next was just increasing my hope, increasing what I believe that God will do in my life. Increasing my belief that actually I'm not going to be ill for the rest of my life. Increasing my belief that actually that God can and he will and he will make a way for me in things that I'm struggling with and things that I'm dealing with, that he is wanting me to have hope. There's a beautiful quote here from a guy, I don't know if you know him, Max Lucado, who does the Wemex things. If you've ever seen that, it's pretty good. And he says, biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is the unshakable belief that God is always at work for our good. It's the assurance that God's promises are true, even when we wait patiently, not fretfully, trusting that God is already at work to provide the light we seek, the help we need, and the deliverance we long for. And just going back to Christmas recently, it says, the manger dares us to believe that the best is yet to be, and it could all begin again today. And I've really come to love that quote because, yeah, it's not just wishful thinking. It is an unshakable belief. And that goes back to being about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he has done. And it's unshakable. He's not changing. We've sang it this morning that he is faithful, that hope is like an anchor. It's set. It is not moving. It's not being shifted and changed in the winds, but actually it's set. And lastly, as well, that our hope is eternal. It is not just for today, it's not just in the past, but it's for forever. And it's a bit in Ephesians that says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So our inheritance is glorious. And we need to know that hope that he has called us to have. Because when we know it, we get to share it, and we get to see other people become free. So for a generation that is dying because of hopelessness, we get to be that light. We get to be that person that provides hope for them. But we first need to know it in fullness for ourselves. And that's where the kind of overflowing hope comes from. We overflow with something, it just naturally comes out of us, it pours out of us, it spills out of us. And that's what I want for my life, so that when I go into the high schools and I talk to young people, that they too can have this hope. So it's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I always thought that young people did actually know about God. When I was first going into high schools, I always thought, well, if they've got Christmas and they've got Easter, then actually they probably do already know about Jesus. They probably do already know about God. And it was, I think it's maybe last year, where we had a group of high school kids come here in this very room, and there was a manger displayed here, and Deb was talking about the Christmas story, and one of the kids was like, "What? Jesus was born?" And I was like, "How do you not know that? How have you got through 10 Christmases and not known that Jesus was born? How, like, were you asleep for the whole nativity?" Anyway, it was just a reminder that actually the people that we see, we can't assume that they know about this hope. We can't assume that they know about Jesus and that they know that God loves them and that God wants to give them hope. And that's why it's so important and it's so amazing for us to have this overflow, this overspill of hope in our own lives. So I'm just going to pray into that for us as a church. I don't know if you feel like you want to respond in any way kind of in your own hearts, but I just want to give us just a moment to just think about the areas in our lives that we may be experiencing hopelessness, the areas of our lives that we've kind of thought that maybe this isn't ever going to get better and we've lost hope for that future. Maybe there's a person in your life that you've been praying for a really long time, that doesn't know God, and you're just desperate for them to know God. And you're getting to a point where you're like, oh, maybe they just won't. Can we think of those people that just need hope at the moment, the areas of the world that need hope? And can we just challenge ourselves to be that answer, to not just pray, oh, I pray that they get hope, that actually that we can get alongside people and the hope that we already have in Jesus can overflow into people. And that's really my prayer for my own life, is that when I go into high schools, that my hope will overflow into them. So I'm going to give us a minute, and then I'm going to pray to close in that.